go against it, doesn't it? Every now and then you see a little light of the true meaning of Christmas, you know, maybe on TV or something, but most of the time it is turned into a rat race. Black Friday has now become Black Thursday. You know, pretty soon it's going to be Black Wednesday. You know, it's gonna, whoever can get that first consumer through the door, they'll do what they need to do. Praise the Lord. Well, today I want to share, and believe it or not, it has to do with Christmas, the Christmas season, at least Jesus' birth. And I want it to be a challenge to us. Again, I don't want to just give us a story of what happened in the, you know, in the Bible so that we can hear it and say, oh, that's nice, and we receive the truth of what happened then. I want us to pick up on the truth of how it applies for us today, because I believe that God is doing a new thing in the earth, just as he was at the time of Jesus' birth. I believe that he's doing supernatural things in our lives. He's speaking supernatural words to our hearts. He's speaking to us through his word. He's speaking us through, you know, prophetic gifts. He's speaking to us sometimes through just each other, and we're hearing like a sound. We're hearing that it's like it was then, the time of the Messiah. And I believe it's the time of Jesus returning. And I want us to realize that there's two schools that we can be in. Now, I believe that God's will be fulfilled. I don't believe that man can get in the way anyway in front of what God wants to accomplish. I believe that we can be involved with his will, or we can be, you know, on the sidelines. But God's will be fulfilled. His glory will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. His kingdom will be established. And so those are truths that I believe in my heart. How we receive his word to us is, I guess, you know, the crux of the matter. It's going to be what literally takes us from either, you know, entering into what he's going to do, or, again, watching it go by like a parade. So I want to go ahead and read from Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and like through verse 21. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at that hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he spoke, looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Lord, we just come to you today, Lord, and ask that you would reveal your truth to us, God, through this word. Lord, we know, God, that your word is alive. Lord, that your word works, Lord, beyond our human understanding, our human reasoning. So, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, let your truth be revealed in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to say to you, Lord, according to your word, let it be done in our lives, Lord. Let us be believing believers, God, not phony faith, God. Let us be ones, God, who say to the others, Lord, this is what God's going to do. Let's watch him and let's enter into the joy of our salvation in being part of what he's going to do. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Zacharias was a righteous, a holy man, him and his wife. They were people who had all their ducks in a row as far as their lives were concerned. They followed the commandments of God. He was a priest. It sounds like he was an upstanding, good man of God. And this angel appears to him while he's lighting these incense burners just outside of the Holy of Holies. It represents the prayer of the saints, the intercession that goes before God. And he's lighting him, and an angel appears before him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure if we saw an angel appear before us, there would be some terror, some fright that would come to us, because, you know, we're not used to seeing angels, you know. And I've heard stories that they're 9 feet tall, and they're big, and they're strong, you know. I think there's different types of angels. But however this was, when it appeared before Zacharias, he was a little nervous and afraid. And he heard this good news to him, because that's what the angel said. This is good news. You're going to have a son. Your prayers have been heard. So what does that mean? That means Zacharias has been praying for a baby, for his wife. Lord, we want a baby. We want to have a, don't let her be barren her whole life. And so these were part of his prayers. And the angel says, good news, your prayers are going to be answered. Right? Everybody thinks, okay, my prayer is going to be answered. He should be jumping up and down. Yay! He doesn't. He starts to lean on his own understanding. He starts to look at his circumstance. He starts to say, well, my wife's barren. She's been barren all the time. I'm old. How's this going to happen? It could be translated. Could be also translated, it's like, can you show me a sign that this is going to happen? And the angel's like, wrong answer. Wrong answer. Because you gave me the wrong answer, because you didn't receive this good news and say, yes, according to your word, let it be done to my life, you're going to be silent. You're not going to be able to communicate. You're going to be mute and speechless. And I wonder if it was really until the baby was born that Zacharias really was able to communicate anything. Can you imagine that? Imagine just maybe being able to, I'm thirsty, can you make something? I mean, not being able to speak. Why do you think God made it so he couldn't speak? So he could not speak unbelief, I believe. So he didn't get in the way of God. Now, he was righteous. He was a good man. His wife was righteous. But he didn't have the eyes of faith that he needed for that moment. He didn't see the day of his visitation in all of its glory. God's will still did happen, didn't it? John the Baptist still was born. We'll read about that in a little bit. And he did, I guess, experience the promise. But he didn't get to enter into it, I believe, in all its fullness. That's to celebrate those full 9 months with his wife. All right. Let's go to someone else now. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. When the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now some may say, so what was the difference between Zechariah's statement of how's this going to happen, or show me proof, and her saying, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" I believe we're talking about attitudes of the heart here now. She was not asking the question for God to prove himself. She was asking the question in curiosity. How's this going to happen? How are you going to make this happen? I have never been with a man. I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a child? The angel goes on to tell her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, will overshadow you, and you will have a supernatural impregnation. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. The angel is reminding her, all things are possible. And so these next words that she says is what I want us to get in our hearts, because I believe this is the response that we need to have in this day of visitation. This is the response we need to have to God when we hear him speaking truths to us, when we hear him speaking promises to us that may be bigger than us, that may seem impossible to us, like all of Yakima being saved. That's been a prophetic word over this valley for years, that we would be a city of refuge, that God's presence will be here in such a way that it's tangible and people would know about it just by coming, driving through the area. They'll know that God is here. Now that seems impossible, doesn't it? And some of us say, well, God, if this is true, show us a true sign. Show us this in a sign so we know this is going to happen. But that's not the right answer. If it's God's promise to us, if he's spoken it in more than two or three witnesses, some being in Russia years ago, seeing like a 3D map of the United States and seeing the Northwest on fire and seeing the word Yakima. I mean, this is testimonies of what came from missionaries when Russia was closed behind the Iron Curtain. Then there's others in the valley who have had this word in their hearts. You know, I'm saying this because I believe our day of visitation is fast approaching. But how are we going to respond to God? Are we going to respond to God and say, okay, God, if this is real, then show us. Or are we going to say, Lord, according to your word, let it be done in us, in our lives, in our city, in our valley, in the lives of other churches, and the other lives of other families who don't even know you now, let your word come to pass. Mary said it like this, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She makes a powerful proclamation here. It sounds almost watered down here because we're not really getting it. She says, behold, the female version, I am your bond servant. I am your slave. She's saying, Lord, I am your slave. I am your property. You are my God. I am not my own. That's what she's saying. This is not my life. This is your life. Can we say that to God? Can we truly give it all, saying, Lord, I am your slave? Because I believe when we get our heart to the place where we realize that we're not all there is to our own life, that if we let God in, we let Him be everything, and we become nothing, so to speak, that He becomes so great in our life, that I believe holy, divine, supernatural, by the Spirit, and I'm not talking about conceiving another Jesus, but I'm saying by the Spirit, supernatural impregnations of His promised word to us that will mature and produce a divine fruit in the earth. That may be holy lives. That may be lives full of power and His glory that can reach out and say, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Raising the dead, seeing marriages completely restored, seeing, you know, blind eyes open. However you want to picture God's glory and that promise coming to pass in your life that He's spoken over you. Or maybe hasn't spoken yet, and are you going to be ready to receive it when He does? I am your slave, Lord. Then she says here, I am your slave. I am a slave of the Lord. I am a slave of the King. I'm a slave of my owner. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. So, as you have said, this reminds me of a great prayer that we pray at times. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life. That's basically what she's saying. As you have said this, your will, your desire, let it be to me, according to your word, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done. Let your supernatural impregnation take place according to your word. Now this is interesting, this word. There's different words for the word in the Bible. One is logos, and the other one is rhema. And she is saying here, let it be done to me according to your rhema, your supernatural word, your word spoken to me personally, your promise to me. And I'm here to tell you today, there's promises that are in your heart. I know it because they're in mine, and I know I know many of you, and you are supernaturally being touched by God, and those promises in some way seem like they're far off. But don't let them remain far off. Continue to say, according to your word, let it be done in my life. According to your rhema, Lord, that you've spoken over me, let your will be done in my family. Let your will be done at my workplace, Lord. Let your will be done in my friend's life, Lord. Let your will be done through me, according to your word. Establish your word in my life, Lord. I am your servant. That's what Mary said. I am your servant. I am your slave. Lord, you are mine. Your word, let it come to pass. I don't know how you're going to do it. I can't figure it out, but Lord, if you've said it, let it come to pass. Don't be saying, well, Lord, that's a strong promise, so if you're really going to do that, then you prove it to me. You do this. You show this. You show me this way. Don't put God to the test. Just receive His word in your life. It's like a divine seed. It's planted and the Holy Spirit waters it, and it will produce its fruit. And I believe some of you, you're gonna fulfill the promises of God, even despite yourself, because God is that big, just as he was in Zacharias' life and in Elizabeth's life. That Zacharias' unbelief or Zacharias' hesitation couldn't keep God from moving. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Romans 4. Verse 20. Nope, sorry. Verse 19. This is speaking of Abraham. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. That's what Zacharias needed to do. Not consider his own body. Already dead since he was about 100 years old. Who knows how old Zacharias was? It says that he was of old age. And obviously to him, this was going to have to be supernatural. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was barren, so was Elizabeth. But Abraham took that same challenge, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He took Mary's road. He said, well, God, if you've said it, I'm going to believe it. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Sarah says, am I to have pleasure in my old age? It sounds like that Abraham and Sarah weren't even having sex back then. Sorry, guys, I said the word. I know some people are like, oh, said the word sex in church. That's wrong. God invented it. He created it. It is undefiled when we have a marriage covenant between a husband and a wife. So it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Anyway, amen. But the point being is that they had not were having relationships, it sounds like. So Abraham, believing God was going to fulfill this promise, what? Had sex with Sarah. And God then experienced in their lives, Isaac. They experience Isaac. And I believe, can't say for sure because it's not accounted in record, but I believe Zacharias was strengthened in faith when he couldn't talk. That sign to his life told him something was going on. And because of that, he said, well, God, I'm going to try here. And guess what? She conceived. I'm telling you that that's all it takes in God is just to say, Lord, I believe you're doing something here. I'm going to try. We don't have to be the craziest, boldest people these days. You know, we don't have to be the Peters. We don't have to be the John the Baptist. God's Spirit is moving in such a way that I believe if we, with hearts of just sincereness, say, in truth, Lord, I'm going to try here because I believe you're doing something this day. I heard a testimony over there, what you did for that person. Would you do that in my life? I'm going to start praying for this person that their eyes will be opened at work. And maybe it's supernaturally, maybe it's physically. But try. And you know what? I believe he's going to fulfill his promise in your life. We don't all have to be like Mary and just say, yes, Lord, according to your word, let it be in my life. Some of us can just say, okay, Lord, you got my attention. I realize that you're moving in this day. I don't know exactly how you're going to do it, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try to be persuaded in this promise in my heart and my life. And I want you guys to realize the weight of what God is saying in this day. He's telling us to pursue him. He's telling us to step out of the boat. He's telling us to go out from our comfort zone and to stretch. And I believe he's saying, when you do that, you're going to see the promise fulfilled. And you're not going to have to wait 9 months. You're not going to have to wait 9 years. God is doing a fast work today. I mean, I'm seeing him work in people's lives, and he's doing amazing things. He's orchestrating things in my life, and I'm just going, wow, you're blowing me away, God, at how much you are involved in the ministry in my life, in the ministry in others' lives. He wants us to become everything he's called us to be, and he wants nothing to hold us back. I believe that's why the Lord keeps bombarding us with these messages. Say, well, that's not the Lord, it's you, Pastor Mark. You keep bombarding us. No. But he puts them on my heart. And I speak them. So he's talking to us through the word. And he's saying, listen, my people, awaken, get ready. I'm about to do something amazing. I'm about to blow your mind. I have in my heart, and I hope I get to preach it, but I believe that 2012 will be a supernatural odyssey. Not 2001, a space odyssey. I'm talking about 2012 will be a supernatural odyssey. The word odyssey, I said, Lord, why odyssey? And so I looked it up, and that word means to travel and have experiences that are significant. I believe we're going to travel through 2012, and on Sunday mornings, people are going to come up in this pulpit, and they're going to like say, Pastor Mike, what you're saying? And they're going to come up, and while I'm preaching, while we're singing, and start sharing of these significant experiences that they have. Because they're not just for them, they're for us. I believe this is going to be the year of the testimonies. And not, you know, Jesus and I, we love each other. No, it's going to be like, whoa, you're not going to believe what happened this week. And someone else says, that same thing happened to me. Can you believe with me that that's going to happen? I believe 2012 will be an earmark year for the body of Christ. I know this isn't the first of the year, but it's dovetailing. I believe that we're going to sit back when 2013 hits, and we're going to say, oh my goodness, pinch myself, was that really what took place? And it's only going to catapult us into what God's going to be doing in the future. I guarantee it. I know it. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. We're going to start seeing testimonies, hearing things going. We're going to start stepping out in areas that we weren't comfortable in before, and it's going to be by His Spirit. It's not going to be because you guys worked up some kind of, you know, strength within yourself. This is God's going to do the work in you. All you have to do is say, according to your word, let it be done in my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Good. One more verse. This is Psalm. Palms to some of you. Psalm 119, verse 38. It's very similar. The psalmist is saying, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. I think there's a key right there. Some of you say, well, I can't really pray that, Pastor Mike. I can't really say, you know, let his will totally be done in my life because, you know, I have some of my own will that I want. I have some of my own things that I want to go on, and I just can't tell him to have all his will because I want mine. You know what's missing? The fear of God. Because if we were devoted to fearing God, and I'm not saying, oh, he's going to crush. I'm saying, understand who he is. You're standing there and sitting there because he made you. He created you. You're alive because he's letting you breathe right now, because your heart's able to beat and push blood through your system. You're not dying from some disease because his grace has been upon you up to this point to not receive that disease. Somebody say, well, it's just good luck. No, it's not luck at all. It's him. He's at work in you for his good pleasure. And if we would realize that we're not our own, that we are slaves to him, and that we are servants to him, and that washing his feet should be a pleasure to us, that giving him all of us should be a pleasure to us, a devotion to fear him, you know what? Then we'll be able to truly say, establish your word in your servant. How many of you really want a faith that is so radical, that is so out of the box, that literally you're astounded by what's going on in your life. Not others. Maybe others also, but you want to be that set of fire down in your soul. Let it burn that you can't contain it, that it spills out on everybody. I want more of you, God. How many are like that? And if you're not, just say, God, make me like that. Because I'm tired of the old stupid ways. I said the bad word again. Tired of the old, messes that I keep making and I have to live in. I want reality. I want a real faith. I don't want fake anymore. I want 2012 to be a spiritual odyssey in my life. I want it to be something so supernatural that it's not of earth, it's of heaven. Can I get some amens? Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are working in our lives, Lord, for your good pleasure. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are stirring our hearts beyond where we've been before. God, I thank you that you don't just leave us to try to figure this out ourselves, but Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, you're revealing your truth to us for our own lives, Lord, and I believe for the lives of our brothers and sisters that are around us. Lord, I pray right now that our eyes would be opened. Lord, I pray for my eyes to be open. Remove the scales. Remove the obstacles. Remove the barriers. Remove the sleep from my eyes. God, let me see clearly, Lord, what you want to do in my life. Give me a heart after you, Lord. A heart of passion. A heart of fire. Lord, let that fire burn inside of me, God. That burns up all things that are not of you, God. And leaves a holy vessel ready to be used for your glory. Lord, we need you. We want you. We desire you. That's why we're here today. But God, don't let it remain just here today, Lord. Let this desire that you're putting in us, Lord, be a 24/7 desire. God, let it be something that we can't sleep because we're thinking of what you're going to do in our lives, Lord. That we can't sleep, God, because of what you're doing even in our lives right now. Lord, let our faith be reality. Let us be fully persuaded, God, that what you've promised, God, you're going to be able to perform. God, that no matter what it looks like in the natural, no matter how messed up we look right now, looking in the mirror, God, that you're going to do something supernatural in us, God, that's going to take us in this continued from glory to glory. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for letting me be alive in this day to see you pour out your Spirit on all flesh, afresh and anew, God, like never before. Lord, I believe that there's going to be many men and women that are going to have visions and dreams and see you like never before in these coming days. God, that are going to share on Sundays, God, and share during the week and share at work, God, what you're doing. And that you're going to be known as alive and well in Yakima Valley. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be, Lord. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul. Can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Yes, Lord. We want more of you, God. More of you, Lord. Don't let us live satisfied lives, Lord. Let us live hungry lives, desperate lives for you. And Lord, let us see your glory. Fill this earth, God. Fill these vessels, God. Let our lives be full of honor before God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, 6 p.m., come and join us as we light this night for the Lord. Amen.